Our scripture lesson today is from an epistle. That's why it's called the epistle lesson. It's from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A lot of us these days have discovered that one of the few benefits of this coronavirus pandemic is that it's given us extra time in our schedules. Some of us have been busier than ever with our jobs and families, but many of us have found that life has slowed down a bit, what with sequestering and working online from home. So, in order to make the best of an unusual situation, many of us have decided to try some new things. Some of us have signed up for online courses or master classes to learn a new skill or a new language. Some of us are journaling, which we've never had time to do before, or trying to write the great American novel. I found a bit of time to arrange some new Christmas carols on piano, which I haven't done in a long while. Maybe you've discovered time for something too, like reading or gardening. But I wonder if any of us have ever considered using these days of the pandemic as an opportunity to work on our spiritual growth. You know, before COVID, you may have wanted to grow spiritually, but life was too crazy to really work on it. Your schedule was so busy, you were doing good just to, you know, cook dinner, get everybody going in the morning. Well, maybe now you have the opportunity. And I want to challenge you that right now during the pandemic might be a perfect time to begin to intentionally work on becoming a stronger, more mature Christian. COVID has created new spaces in your schedule. And ironically, in a pandemic, you now have some time to focus on growing with Christ. So today, right now, I want to challenge you to take this teaching as an opportunity to improve yourself spiritually, to actually take a step towards going further in your Christian walk and your life becoming more Christ-centered. You know, we like to point out all the ways we Christians are different from everybody else, especially from totally secular people. We read the Bible. We pray for each other. We give to our church and to the needy. We try not to hold grudges, and we try to forgive when we've been wronged. But one thing that we Christians do almost exactly like non-Christians do is we worry. Yes, we worry a lot. pretty much just like people who don't have a relationship with Christ. They worry about many of the same things that we do, and we worry about a lot of the same things that they do. And my challenge to you today is to see if you can be different. Can you stop worrying so much? Or at least get better about it? I'm going to give you several keys to help you with that. And by the end of the sermon today, I hope you will be able to take a big step in your spiritual growth, okay? So let's get started. And to begin, I want you to answer a question. What are you worried about right now? What is worrying you these days? What are the things in your life that bother you, keep you up at night, make you afraid of what might happen? I think we all have them. We worry about our children, our grandchildren. Are they going to get sick? Are they going to get an education? We worry about our future. Are we going to have enough money to make it through the pandemic? Are we going to be able to afford the things we always planned on doing, like paying for our kids' college tuition, or paying for their wedding, or going on that dream vacation, or being able to retire comfortably? Some of you worry about yourself. We worry if people will like us, if anyone will ever love us, if we will ever find a mate, what we will do with our lives, what mark we will make in the world, if we'll ever find our career or calling. Let's face it, there's plenty to worry about. Always has been, always will be. We see things happen, sometimes to our friends, sometimes to people we don't know. We see car wrecks and accidents and addictions and tragedies on TV or online, and we realize that stuff could happen to us. And we get afraid and worry. We all have what I would call our worry list, right? Our worry list, the list of things that every day trouble us and every night keep us tossing and turning. And it can get worse. Worry can strain our relationships, make us yell at people we don't want to yell at, give us ulcers and digestive problems. Worry can even lead us to addictive behaviors and depression. Now, of course, in secular society, people tell us not to worry. Some say, que sera, sera, whatever will be, it's just fate. Whatever happens, happens, and there's nothing you can do about it. So eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Shakespeare said, life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. And then more recently, we have Bobby McFerrin, the pop artist, singing what I think is a really awesome song. And the words go like this. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Boo-da, boo-da, boo-da. Be happy. In every life, we have some trouble. But when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. I'm going crazy on the radio. I'll just skip to the end. Landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy. Because when you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. So don't worry, be happy. Now, trust me, I love this song. It's so catchy and so uplifting. Don't worry, be happy. What could be more positive than that? The trouble is that when you get into life's darker corners, the reason this song gives to be happy falls apart. Really, he just tells you, don't worry, be happy. And the only reason he gives to do that is in the last verse. When you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. So actually, he's saying don't worry because all of us, everybody around you will notice, and it will make us depressed, seeing you so depressed. So that's pretty much as good as secular society gets with helping us not to worry. But Jesus has a better way. Scripture has a better way. Specifically, Our passage today has an actual method to help you get rid of your worry list. And I want you to think of it as a pyramid that has three layers. The first layer I would call perception, how we perceive of our circumstances in a way that is different from secular people. And the second layer we'll call transformation, where we change, we transform our worry and our anxiety into something else. And then finally, the capstone of the pyramid, the third layer on top, is peace formation, and that is the result of the underlying layers, the foundation of perceiving things correctly, and then the second layer of transformation of worry into something else, which leads to peace formation, the establishment of peace in your heart, even when your life is in distress or disarray. So let's begin with the foundation, that first level of our pyramid, which is perception. One of the reasons we worry just as much as non-Christians do is because we perceive our situation exactly the same way that they do. They don't know Christ, so they don't have any assurance that he is with them in all circumstances. We do know Christ, but somehow we just accept that we're on our own in times of trouble. We don't perceive anything different in our lives than a non-Christian does in his life when trouble comes. And that is wrong. They don't see Christ in times of trouble, and we don't either, even though we have Christ living in us. So the first step, the foundation, is to change our perception. We need to perceive, to see that Jesus is with us no matter what is going on. So let's look at the first of these three layers, the foundation of our pyramid, our perception. The Apostle Paul understood that we needed to look at things differently. And that is why he begins by saying in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near." Such wonderful news, such a great scripture for the dark times we're going through, many of us. And the reason not to worry, the reason to rejoice, is totally different from Bobby McFerrin's reason in his song. And our first clue to this difference is the place that the Apostle Paul is writing from. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice," Paul writes, "from prison." Yes, from prison, y'all. He's writing about joy, about rejoicing from a dirty, nasty jail cell. Paul the Apostle wrote this letter to the church at Philippi while he was in jail in Ephesus. He tells us this in the first chapter. And this wasn't prison like we have it now after prison reform. This was first century Asia Minor prison, dirty, nasty, germ-ridden, damp places where you were in genuine danger all the time of being assaulted by the guards and the other inmates. And from that situation, Paul is urging his Christian friends in Philippi to rejoice. He knew what dangers they faced by being Christians. He knew that some would probably end up being jailed like he was. Some would even be killed. But he admonished them, commanded them to rejoice. So let's look at this verse carefully, because we too face situations in which it seems difficult or even possible to rejoice. How do we rejoice when we're in the darkness of grief, when we're sick, when we're isolated from our families, or when we're hurting? Is he serious? If he knew my situation, would Paul still tell me to rejoice? Well, this isn't just any joy Paul is talking about. This isn't the joy of don't worry, be happy. Paul is telling us to rejoice in the Lord. That is the difference between Christian joy and secular happiness. When Paul says to rejoice, he is telling us to perceive our reality differently. He's saying that your joy doesn't depend on circumstances, doesn't depend on things always having to be good, because you rejoice not in your situation, but you rejoice in the Lord. You perceive that Jesus is in this with you. And that difference is crucial. As William Barclay says, "Christian joy is independent of all things on earth, because it has as its source the continual presence of Christ. Two lovers are always happy when they are together, no matter where they are. The Christian can never lose his joy because he can never lose Christ." Whatever your situation is this morning, whatever you're struggling with, the good news is that you're not alone, that Jesus is with you in it. Emmanuel, God with us. You can be having the worst experience in your entire life and still be able to rejoice in the Lord because he is with you in it. Jesus has suffered the way you're suffering, and you can never lose your joy because you can never lose Jesus. And Paul is calling you to perceive exactly that. And I think it might be helpful at this point to make a distinction between joy and happiness. Happiness is what you get from circumstances. Your team wins the big football game, you get happy. Someone you love loves you back, it makes you happy. You get a tax refund check that you weren't expecting, that makes you happy. But that kind of happiness is fleeting because things change. Your team loses the next game, and you aren't happy anymore. The person you love decides they love someone else more than you. You aren't happy now. When bad things happen, you lose happiness. But Christian joy is different. The key difference between Christian joy and secular happiness is that Christian joy doesn't depend on circumstances. You can have happy times, and underneath it all is your Christian joy, but you can also have unhappy times, sad times, devastating times, and lose your happiness, but underneath feel the everlasting arms of your living Lord. You feel the loving presence of Jesus, and that will never leave you. And that's why Paul, in a dank, dark, dangerous prison cell, can say, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. His joy is not dependent on his life being happy or trouble-free. He has plenty of trouble. But he makes the decision to be joyful, to perceive what nobody around him can see, that Jesus is with him in that jail cell, and he can decide to acknowledge it. He can decide to rejoice, and you and I can make that decision too. You and I can perceive what the world cannot see, that Jesus is with us in this. So remember that rejoicing is a decision, not a feeling, and it arises from the perception that Jesus is with us. It doesn't start with our emotions. It starts with our will. And that's why Barclay says Christian joy is independent of all things on earth because it has as its source the continual presence of Christ. Okay, so now we come to the second layer of our pyramid. The first layer of the foundation is perception, how we perceive of our circumstances in a way that's different from secular people, that Jesus is with us. And then the second layer is transformation, where we change. We transform our worry and anxiety into something else. So Paul says, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Okay, don't worry about anything. Really? Paul must not have lived the kind of life I've lived. I have plenty to worry about. But he doesn't end the sentence there with not worrying. He actually says, don't worry about anything, but instead, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So when we worry, we act as if we are in charge of things, as if we are the solution to everything, and we acknowledge that God is in control, we release ourselves of that responsibility and give those worries to him to solve. Instead of worrying, we pray. Do you see that? So here's our second layer. Once we perceive that the Lord is with us, then we can transform our worry. And how do we do it? The way to stop worrying is what? Instead of worrying about things, pray about everything. We transform our worry list into our prayer list. It's so simple, but it's beautiful. Worry is static. It's paralyzing. When you worry, you're helpless. But if every time you would worry, you would then take those worries and turn them into prayers, then you'd be doing something. Then you would be taking action. Then you would be giving God control. So that is the key in these troubled times. First, perceive that you're not alone, that you're not on your own, that the Lord is with you today, right now. Then you can take all those things you're worrying about, and they are many, and you can turn them into a prayer list. Pray for your family, pray for your kids, pray for yourself, pray for your medical procedure. Then turn your worries into prayers. Okay, now we get to the really cool stuff. What is the payoff for all this, the outcome? What will be the result of first perceiving that Jesus is with you in trouble, and then the second of transforming your worry list into a prayer list? The result will be, verse 7, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The result of your prayers will be peace. The capstone of the pyramid, the third layer right there on top, peace, brothers and sisters. Remember what we just texted to people, peace of Christ be with you. This is it. Doesn't that sound good right now to feel some peace? The peace of God which passes all understanding. And you can tell Paul is being realistic about his circumstances. He acknowledges that the peace sometimes doesn't make any sense at all with what we're staring at in our lives. It probably didn't seem reasonable to him that being in prison, his life in danger, he had that peace, but he did. And look how he characterizes it. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, like a sentry guarding the entrance to a castle. The Holy Spirit will guard our hearts and minds, guard your heart, your feelings, keep you from freaking out in your circumstances, one. And two, the Holy Spirit guards your mind as well. It keeps you from overthinking things. The peace of God keeps reminding you that you are in Christ Jesus. It guards you. It keeps the fear away, the darkness away, the panic away. Yes, your circumstances are scary, hostile, painful. We understand that, but God's peace surpasses our understanding and guards our hearts and minds. So let's go back now to the beginning where we started this meditation. What are you worried about today? What are the things in your life that bother you, keep you up at night, make you afraid of what might happen? Think about it. Have it at the front of your mind. That is what we understand. These are our circumstances. What we understand is that terrible things can happen. Terrible things have happened. But what surpasses understanding is that even though that is so, we can have peace today. Even in circumstances that preclude our happiness, based on circumstances, we can have joy based on Christ being with us. Even in darkness, we can have light. First, perceive that Jesus is with you in your circumstance, your trauma, your darkness. Second, transform your worry list into a prayer list. And third, the result of that perception and that prayer will be that the Holy Spirit will fill you with God's peace and will guard you with your heart and mind. And that is just wonderful news. And it is how, in these scary times, we can live lives that are different from the secular folks around us. Lives full of joy and peace and the protection of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to close with a version of this passage that we used in college. Back at Wake Forest, in our Christian fellowship, most of us at one time or another carried around a version of the scriptures called the Living Bible. We brought it to our Bible studies and our fellowship meetings, and we marked it up with pink and blue highlighters. It was a paraphrase rather than a word-for-word translation. But when I looked up our passage this week in that version, I realized I could almost recite it from memory. I was so familiar with it. And I think it really does summarize everything we've been talking about today. So I'll close with it, and here's how it goes. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we pray that you would help us to share the peace of Christ, that you would allow us to perceive our situations, that you're in this with us, that you would allow us to turn our worry list into our prayer list, and that in praying for everything, that you would give us your peace. Thank you that you love us and you came and you died and you know what it's like to live with us and be with us and to be in us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.